Please be seated. The person who hired me to work at a day camp 30 years ago did her best thinking in our jumbled supply room. "What are you looking for?" I would ask when I went in sometimes to help her. "I don't remember," she said, "but I'll know when I find it." Do you know what you were looking for when you came here this morning? Rabbi Lawrence Kushner tells this story. "I remember the first computer game we ever got. Since hardly anyone owned computers in those days, you had to use your television set for a monitor. By plugging a cable into the antenna jack, you turned your TV into a primitive video arcade. Then you would play ping pong in monochrome. Do y'all remember Pong? You operated a little paddle that moved up and down along one side of the screen. The ball was actually a small white square which moved horizontally. With enough coordination, you could get your paddle to intersect the ball's trajectory. At which point, you heard the game's only sound effect. Bip. Bip. After you got good at it, you could crank up the speed. Bip, 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 bip. You remember? We didn't own one of the games, but the folks at JCPenney, where my sister worked, set up one in the aisle between the sporting goods and the washing machines. And my brother and I could play it for hours until they chased us off. A few years later, Atari became the rage, and initially it had four different games. Rabbi Kushner's favorite was called Adventure, a Dungeons and Dragons derivative with castles and locked rooms, hidden doorways, and a bat who could steal your key away, and even whole areas where the obstacles were invisible. The rabbi's family really got into it. The kids, of course, quickly surpassed the grown-ups. They'd come home from school with new tips and tricks. Some were not even documented, which is old-fashioned computer talk for saying that such maneuvers were not written down in any manual. One of the most amazing epiphanies was discovered by his junior high school age son. In a particular place, inside a certain structure, the diligent seeker could find a small white dot that was too small to be noticeable as a normal game object. And you were likely to ignore it and assume it was only a glitch on your TV. But by clicking on the dot and taking it back to the starting screen, you could enter a hidden, otherwise inaccessible room. Discovering the room had absolutely nothing to do with winning, but what you could find there was a rainbow and the name of the person who had invented the game. For all I know, Kushner offers, every computer programmer does something like this. Somewhere, through some door, behind some wall, there is some place waiting for us. And in that room is the name of the artist. Rabbi Kushner wonders if the signature of the creator with a capital C is not similarly hidden within everything that God has made. Perhaps God's hidden signature is written within us or on us, or maybe it's inscribed all over the place, if only we have eyes to see it. It matters, of course, what word God has written, if by it we're going to find ourselves and the place that God has made for us. Jesus asked the first disciples in today's gospel, "What are you looking for?" And Kushner's query offers us a pretty good place to start. Perhaps you feel like your life is a little too much like a video game, with danger lurking around every corner and real-life dragons that need to be slain. More than a few of us probably experience the political landscape, our professional lives, some of our personal relationships, or our physical health as a battle zone, and we quite literally have to gird our loins to survive it. Or maybe you feel like you're in a race and that you're scrambling to get ahead or just to keep up. And something not so friendly as Pac-Man is nip, nip, nipping always at your heels. But beneath every daily heartache is a deeper reality. God is present, even at the bottom of the bottom. And God is the power that redefines power altogether. Though God's hidden signature may be a little bit more hidden than we'd like it to be, there's some order in our chaos because each one of us bears God's word. And what God has written is, you matter. You belong. You're loved. As John's gospel opens, the person of Jesus is a circumspect, bent on being discovered rather than proclaimed, a bit like a hidden signature, too. And while John is in every way splashy and loud, here's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. This is the Son of God. Jesus is pretty quiet. And he seems genuinely surprised to turn and see two would-be disciples following after him. What are you looking for? He asks them. These are the first words out of Jesus' mouth in John's gospel, the very first thing he says, and they may in fact sum up for us what the whole story is about. Because depending on how we answer this question, humanity either ends up killing its prophets over and over again, or building God's kingdom as it was created to be. So what are you looking for? What are we looking for? Meaning? Hope? Inspiration? Justice? Forgiveness? Compassion? Healing? Respect? Love? Is what the nation is looking for, or what Baltimore is looking for, any different from what we're looking for here and in here? Isn't following Jesus the way we reconcile our personal desires with the aching needs of the world? Jesus asks his erstwhile disciples, what are you looking for? And then he suggests that the way to that place is through personal engagement. Come and see me at home, he says. Come be with me, and you'll know. Come sit at the most mixed up table the world has ever seen, where queens serve prostitutes and tax collectors put everything they have into a common plate. It comes down to the value of his example. Jesus is the welcome that we long for and that heals us. This completely open human touch that he models is God's embrace. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know for what or for whom you're looking? And then a person appears or an idea surfaces, and then you know this is it. Protest movements can be like that, or elections. And they can either open up our hearts to the best of us or wall us off in fear and recriminations. On some level, what we're always looking for, I think, is to be part of something bigger than we can be alone. And if we follow our dark angels, where we end up can be perverse and limiting and awful. But on our best days, all of us are longing to move in creative and life-giving directions towards something or someone who helps and restores and renews us and our humanity. I felt something like that when I met my wife. I told some friends later on that evening that I'd met the woman that I wanted to marry, just like that. Months later, when I knew her better, I told Sarah about my immediate enthusiasm. She told me that in our first conversation, she'd felt the opposite of excited. She said, I didn't feel giddy. My stomach settled. That statement did not make me proud. I wanted to hear that she experienced fireworks and champagne, and instead I got Pepto-Bismol. But I guess a lot of the time, we don't know what we're looking for. We don't know who we're looking for until we find it or she finds us. There's a place for us. Somewhere a place for us. And its law is written deep in our hearts, where the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and everyone shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and where none shall be afraid. In his address celebrating the Nobel Peace Prize, Martin Luther King said, I refuse to accept that humankind is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life, unable to influence the unfolding events which surround us. I refuse to accept the view that humankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militarist stairway into the hell of thermonuclear destruction. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That's why right, temporarily defeated, is still stronger than evil, triumphant. I believe that even amid today's motor bursts and whining bullets, there is still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice lying prostrate on a blood-flowing street of our nation can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. I believe that what self-centered people have torn down, people who are other-centered can build up. I still believe that we shall overcome. What are you looking for? And what will you do and say and build when you find it? When we help and restore and renew, when we join our disparate voices with others and secure justice for the little guy, food for the poor, dignity for the disenfranchised, then we are the hidden signature of God being written on the world. There's a place for us. But any circumstance where all are not welcomed, all are not respected, all are not loved, all are not free is no place at all. Your hope and your tenacity and your courage are what I'm looking for. And it's what this old, broken-hearted world needs. And so, do me a favor. When someone wonders about Baltimore and how we're making it, tell them that God is turning everything upside down here. Tell them about this wonderfully mixed up table where everyone is invited. Tell them we haven't gotten it right yet. We're not there to God's kingdom, but that we've got a pretty good idea how to get there. And ask them to come and see. Come and see. Come and see a world that we can make again and again every morning, every day, into something that it was meant to be. Ask them to come and see your life and its witness in this city, in your family, in the neighborhood, in this nation now. Ask them to come and see why you keep coming here, why you keep getting up, why you keep sending your kids to school, why you keep caring about schools that your kids have long since graduated from. Ask them to come and see and belie the darkness and let them know that it is morning again, or will be, if we can see it. Ask them to come and see. Amen.